Hello and welcome back to the From the Nosebleeds podcast, season 2, episode 10, on this lovely Tuesday, November morning, fresh off of another great week in the NFL. I'm Thomas Pokornik, as always, joined by my co-host Thomas Coburn, as well as producer Paulo Gismondi. What's going on, guys?
Nothing much. As you mentioned, a pretty nice Tuesday morning for mid-November. It's not bad. But how was your weekend? You have a good weekend?
I had a fantastic weekend. Honestly, everything was just falling into place perfectly for me. The Dolphins have won 5 in a row. The Cardinals gave us the greatest gift of all time with that beautiful Hail Mary, which of course we'll get into later because that was one of the best plays I've ever witnessed live in my life. And then weekend was wrapped up with a absolute nail biter of a Monday night football game, which I know we were going back and forth during while the game was going on. And I was complaining to you about these primetime games because this week we had the Bears and the Vikings. And last week we had the Patriots and the Jets. And I was just going on and on about how I think the NFL should be able to choose the primetime games just about a week in advance of when they actually are, because I've been disappointed by the selection as of late. But you know what? It was actually a really enjoyable game last night. Maybe for the wrong reasons. I just found it extremely entertaining to watch.
Yeah, you couldn't hate the game after a finish. I mean, maybe going in or even the first half, it's like nothing's happening, but just the wackiness of the Bears continued, scoring half of their points on a kick return. And well, the Vikings, I don't know, it was the most Vikings-Bears game ever.
And I think I'm starting to gain a bit more of an appreciation for defensive football and those games where it just, who cares about the stats, just get out there and find a way to win the game. And that's what it was. And in the end, the Vikings came out on top, but man, the Bears just looked, I called them out at 3-0. I called them the worst 3-0 team ever in NFL history. And it's the one time I'm actually looking smart in what I've said, because they look horrible.
They're probably also the worst 5-1 team in NFL history. Yeah. I mean, it's just another year of that wasted defense. It's, what is it, 3 years now? Four? I don't know. I think it's 3 since Khalil Mack got there, right? This is his third season? Yeah. It's just year after year. It's like unreal watching that defense, and then nothing happens on the other side of the ball.
And it just feels like, I don't know, like you said, that offense just holds them back so much.
Mainly the quarterback.
They're trying new things too. This week, up until now, head coach Matt Nagy was calling plays. This week, he announced he's given up the play calling, give it to the offensive coordinator. And what do? They come out in the second half. I think they had 2 total yards in the third quarter, and they were still winning the game, which is just amazing, because this is a defense that's having to be on the field for a long time. They're not having much to work with on the offensive side of the ball. Like, it just has to be deflating to be Khalil Mack or Kyle Fuller or Roquan Smith. You got to go into that locker room at the end of the game and say, come on, guys, just anything.
And even it's deflating for the defense, sure, but also it's deflating. The Bears might have one of the most underrated wide receiver cores in the league. If they had a above average quarterback throwing to them, I mean, they have Allen Robinson, who's obviously wide receiver 1, but then you have Mooney and Anthony Miller, who are both quality 2 and 3 options. And you see clips after every Bears game all over Twitter. It's like you see them get open and then the ball just gets airmailed 10 feet over their head. There's nothing they can do.
And just when you think it couldn't get any worse, because I was watching that game and I honestly thought it can't get any worse than Nick Foles. And when he went down, you know, I really hope he's okay, because it did look scary. He got slammed down pretty hard and he wasn't moving there for some time. But just when you think it couldn't get any worse than Nick Foles, that third string quarterback comes in and on 4th and 10, he just rips it out of bounds. He just sails it. Like he wanted to throw it out of the stadium. Really. It was just like, and this brutal. Is nothing new for the Bears. In the '80s, when the Bears won Super Bowls, they didn't have anyone special at quarterback. The Bears have never had
a good 4,000
yard passer, 4,000 yard passer. I want to say at least 15 quarterbacks every single year in the NFL. maybe more than half the quarterbacks in the NFL,
especially now, yeah,
throw for 4,000 yards, and they've never had one in their history. They traded the farm for Trubisky. What's that, 4 years ago now?
Yeah.
It clearly hasn't worked out. Probably one of the worst trades in NFL history. They've gone to Foles. I said it when he came in. The magic's not going to last forever. He's now 2-5 for the Bears as a starter. And the thing is, there's a similar problem that I've told you about your Lions. The Bears are going to win 7 games this year. They're gonna win 2 more games. No problem.
At they'll least. Win 2 more they'll games. They'll probably, I could see them going 8-8. Even yeah. maybe 9-7. But I think they'll be 8-8, yeah.
So they're in a situation now where they're going to have to trade the farm again because the quarterbacks this season coming into the NFL from the draft are some of the most highly touted, maybe even more highly touted than the 3 we had come in last year. So it yeah, is I mean, more than a headache that Chicago's dealing with.
Quick side note about that game last night. Great job, refs. Just there was like barely any flags. It was very refreshing to watch. I think they mentioned it a couple times in the broadcast, but I think there was like only 3 or 4 flags the whole game. And in a season where you're waiting after every pass, there's that moment of, okay, there's no yellow flag thing that pops up on the scoreboard. That was a great positive I took from that game.
Literally, I've just to go off that, every single time I'm watching a football game, especially if it's the Dolphins and I have a vested interest in it, if we sack the quarterback or if we pick off the quarterback, it's like I delay my celebration because I have to make sure there's no flags. Like that's just how it's becoming. There's seems every single game,
is every first down, yellow flags. Yeah, it's just like, okay, we're good.
I think one of the few flags we had last game was a 20-yard run by Dalvin Cook, and then it got brought back. So just, yeah. That just shows you just how bad it's been this year. But regardless, you had the fantastic idea to run through this segment on the show, and I think it's going to be really fun. Just to highlight how good the Bears roster is and how they're held back by quarterbacks in the NFL. We're going to run through all 32 teams quickly. Some of them are going to be no-brainers. Some of them probably spend a little bit more time on. And there's 3 categories to go through. Worse or the same, playoff win, or Super Bowl contenders. So, for example, let's say we start off with the Bucs. If Tom Brady, the Bucs quarterback, were on the Bears, would they be worse or the same? A playoff contender to win one playoff game or a Super Bowl contender? I think this is going to be a lot of fun because, like you said, this Bears defense, top 5 unit in the NFL, no question.
I said just before the show started, I said, I honestly think they might be the best defense just because, like, if you were to put that defense on the Steelers, like, you just so much more enthusiasm they would play with just because they know that their offense is obviously going to help them out. I feel like it's just they're on the field a ton, and it might just be a little bit of hopelessness. Like, they know that Nick Foles isn't going to do anything for them. But yeah, anyways, 100% without further ado, yeah,
good
yeah,
offense well, complements yeah. A good offense makes a good defense even better. So that's a fantastic point. But yeah, let's get into this, and you'll run through a couple of the teams, and we'll go for it.
All right, Bills, Josh Allen.
100%. I'm going to say they're Super Bowl contenders with Josh Allen because I think the Bills are on the cusp of being Super Bowl contenders, and I think that Bears defense is better.
I'm going to say playoff win. I don't think that – I don't. Not yet. Okay, Tua.
I'm going to say playoff win. I think – I'm going to say the Bears with Tua are just as good as the Dolphins now, and I think the Dolphins can win a playoff game this year.
I'm going to say same. I haven't watched enough of Tua, so that might not mean much. Cam.
Worse or the same.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm not a big fan of Cam.
He's kind of a Nick Foles-esque player, just a lot more mobile.
A little more mobile, a little less accurate. So yeah. It evens out.
Darnold.
This is an interesting one because I feel there's so many mixed opinions on Sam Darnold. So many people still view him as the guy who was supposed to go number one to the Browns a couple years ago. And some people view him as the guy who just never worked out for the Jets and has looked lost. Because, I mean, they have Robbie Anderson, but I don't like the Bears' run game. I'm going to say they'll be around the same with Darnold.
Yeah, I mean, I know this isn't a category, but I feel like just slightly better, but not playoff win, somewhere in between. I'm making up a new category, but not. Okay. Mahomes.
No brainer. I don't even have to answer this.
They might go 16-0.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Super Bowl.
One thing about Mahomes, though, is if he were on the Bears, which
it's a completely different.
They should have drafted him. No Tyreek Hill, no Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
I mean, Allen Robinson is he's probably one of the most underrated receivers in the NFL, but the weapons goes down just a tad, but Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. I still think they win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, and also it's like, obviously it's a little unrealistic. If you have Mahomes, he's obviously signed to a higher contract. Defense can't be as good, but whatever.
Now,
also,
now you're just getting super technical here, but.
Very quick side note, the nice November day that I was talking about, it's now snowing. All right. Next quarterback, Derek Carr.
Playoff win. I think Carr's pretty conservative, but
he's conservative, but he makes all the plays that you need.
And he doesn't make mistakes. Yeah,
so. Exactly. And that's all the Bears would need to win a playoff game.
Playoff win.
Drew Lock.
Maybe they'll do a little bit more dancing, but they won't do much more winning because
a little bit more rapping on the sideline. Yeah, the same. I agree. Herbert.
I'm a big fan of Herbert, and I think he's doing great with what he has, which is not a lot at the current time. So I'm going to say they'll be playoff win team. He's way more talented than Foles.
Absolutely playoff win. Big Ben.
This is, you know what? Steelers are Super Bowl contenders with Ben, so I think I'm going to have to make them Super Bowl contenders as well. He looked great this Sunday. I know it was against the Bengals, but Super Bowl contenders.
I'll go Super Bowl contender. I kind of almost view him as like nowadays a better version of Carr, where he's not going to make them like outside of, he has 4 interceptions this year and 3 of them were in that one game.
Yeah.
So he hasn't been throwing picks, minimizing the damage. I'll say Super Bowl contender. Lamar.
Playoff win.
Playoff win as well. I don't believe that you put Lamar on any team that are Super Bowl contender.
Yeah.
That's my take. Baker.
Worse or the same?
Worse or the same.
It's Baker Mayfield. It's my opinion, my decision's made. I don't think he's ever going to live up to the number one pick hype. He's too inconsistent. He doesn't seem like he can get the best out of his teammates. So, yeah, they'll be around the same, the Bears.
Yep. Burrow.
The thing with Burrow is I haven't seen him with a good defense. I haven't seen him with, I mean, the Bears don't have that great of an O-line, but I almost want to say that this is going to be the slightly better category that you sort of made up, but I'll go playoff win for Burrow just because I like what I've seen so far.
Yeah, I'd lean playoff win as well if I had to choose. Phillip Rivers.
Worse. This is an easy one. Worse or the same?
Absolutely. I'm not going to say they'd be definitely worse. So yeah, definitely the worse or the same. Tannehill.
I'm going to say they'll be the same because I think take away Derrick Henry from the Titans and ask Tannehill to do a lot more. I know Tannehill's playing great this year. There's not to hate on Tannehill, but I think he's a game manager. He's a very good game manager. He's not a star of the offense. I'm going to say they'll be around the same 500 record.
It's that made-up category. I think that's where Tannehill kind of falls.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Luton, Minshew, Jaguars quarterback.
Worse. Skip this one. Okay, throw it out the window.
I got to switch conferences. Which one comes up? Okay, Wentz.
Did you run through Deshaun Watson from the Texans?
I missed them. Look at that. I don't know how I missed them.
This is a fun one with Deshaun Watson.
Super Bowl contender. That's me.
You think they'll be a Super Bowl contender? I think he's having a fantastic season with bad roster. The Browns have a nice defense and it was on the road, but he doesn't have a lot to work with. So I think I'll agree with you and go Super Bowl contender. I'll volunteer here to run through the NFC. Just
go ahead. Make my job easy.
I know your eyes are straining over there.
I'm getting tired.
I'll start off where you tried to start off with, and that's Carson Wentz.
Super Bowl contender. For some reason, I still think Wentz is really good. I know it's like popular to think he's terrible. I actually think if you put Wentz on the Bears – and you compare that offense to the Eagles offense, I think the Bears have a significantly better offense than the Eagles.
I think the Bears have better options at wide receiver. The run game, I'm still not sold on David Montgomery. And that O-line bears the Eagles. I know when the Eagles are fully healthy, they have a great offensive line. This season, they're banged up. I'm going to say they're similar level to what the Bears, at least from what I saw last night with the Bears, because that O-line could not protect anything. I'll put them in playoff win because I think at least Wentz is going to take some shots down the field. He's more mobile. This is cool because it's the old Wentz versus Foles debate, and I still think people are ridiculous for thinking that Philadelphia should have traded Wentz and kept Foles because it's so obvious what Nick Foles is. He's lightning in a bottle, but runs out extremely quickly. That's interesting that you think they're a Super Bowl contender. Moving on to the next team, and this is one.
Wait, what'd you say? Did you say playoff win?
I'm going to give them a playoff
win. Okay.
This is one of your favorite teams that's been doing great for you in your spread picks, the New York Football Giants.
I'm going to say playoff win.
With Daniel Jones, playoff win.
Here's why. I think that he brings obviously a lot more upside to that offense, but he does make those mistakes. But I think that the Bears defense would be good enough to kind of minimize the damage on those interceptions or fumbles.
I'm still a believer in Daniel Jones, but I don't see an incredibly high ceiling.
A playoff appearance.
But you're just making up categories here. I'm going to say that they'll be the same with Daniel Jones. Washington football, whether it's Kyle Allen, Alex Smith, or Dwayne Haskins, in my opinion, I'm ruling them out as they'll be worse, if not the same.
I'd say the same. I think Alex Smith looked good against the Lions. Obviously, that's the Lions, but yeah, I'll say same or worse.
Dak Prescott with the Dallas Cowboys.
Super Bowl contender. Obviously, I think the Cowboys have a much better offense than the Bears, even if Dak is on the Bears. But yeah, he just looked incredible in the short amount of games we saw him. I think they could win a Super Bowl with him.
I'll agree with you on that one. Aaron Rodgers from the Packers.
Super Bowl.
Yeah, goes without saying. Kirk Cousins, who we saw them play last night.
Same or worse.
And your boyhood idol, Matthew Stafford.
Super Bowl.
Super Bowl with Stafford.
I hope he leaves. This is a completely separate conversation.
He deserves better.
People do not realize how talented he is. And I truly think I should say Super Bowl contender, NFC championship, Super Bowl appearance, definitely in there. I don't know if they'd win, but that's still a contender.
Okay. I'm a big Stafford guy as well, so I think I'll side with you on that one. Drew Brees or Jameis Winston, but for now we'll go Drew Brees.
Playoff win.
I think they're a playoff win with Brees. I think they're a playoff win with Jameis Winston. We're going to talk about Jameis later today, but spoiler alert, hard to find a bigger Jameis fan than me. Brady with the Bucks.
Playoff win.
Playoff win. I'll go playoff win too because he doesn't have Chris Godwin. He doesn't have Mike Evans and et cetera, et cetera. Ludicrous weapons.
2 million tight ends that they have. They're all good.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan.
Playoff win.
I think Ryan's a similar quarterback to Stafford in terms of talent. But his track record of blowing leads is going to drop him to the playoff win category for me. Teddy Bridgewater, who the Bears actually came extremely close to signing in the offseason.
Playoff win.
Playoff win with Teddy. I'm going to put them in that. We've done this made-up category so many times that it's almost a made-up.
It's almost an actual category now,
but I'm going to. I'm not going to cheat, and I'm going to say that they'll be the same with Teddy Bridgewater. Kyler Murray.
Super Bowl contender.
I agree with you 100%, and he wins the MVP in Arizona. He wins the MVP in Chicago. This kid's a real deal, Kyler. Jared Goff.
Playoff with – same or worse?
Same or worse with Goff, really?
I think he needs McVay. So if Matt Nagy was Goff's coach, I think he is – they're 8-8.
I think with that O-line the Bears have reminds me of a couple weeks ago, the Dolphins just destroyed Goff. Every single pass he'd thrown was batted or he was hit on every play. And I think he'd be in a similar situation there. He needs time. He needs everything to sort of be relaxed and he's not going to get that in Chicago.
That being said, he's fantastic with McVay. Like I think like teams should fear him if they play him in the them in the playoffs. But continue.
I agree. I think Goff is a little bit disrespected just because he had sort of that one season where he fell off. But this is maybe the hardest one. I'm going to say playoff win with Jared Goff. Russell Wilson and the Seahawks, another one that
Super
goes
Bowl,
saying,
not even contender. They win.
Okay. Super Bowl, same category as Mahomes there. And Jimmy Garoppolo, who almost plays for the Bears with how the 49ers are built. And we saw them go to the Super Bowl last year, led by a fantastic defense. So
I'm going to go same or worse.
With Jimmy?
Yeah, I think it's what I said with Goff. Well, Goff is definitely, I think he's definitely better than Garoppolo, but it's the, he needs Shanahan to, like, I guess, kind of hold his hand through a game. But if somebody's there with him holding his hand, he's good enough to go to a Super Bowl, as you saw. But Matt Nagy is not that coach, which I think they're 8-8, 9-7.
I'm not a Jimmy Garoppolo hater, but I'm going to agree with you that he is most successful led by a great coach and a great game plan. Don't forget, I think he threw 9 passes. I think he was 8-for-9 in the NFC Championship last year. 9 passes, and they won by 20-something points. So I'm going to agree and say they would be the same, not worse, but around the same, a 500 team, which nothing against Jimmy, but that actually wraps up all 32 teams. I didn't keep track as we were going along, but I think it'll be fun to look back after and see how many teams we actually picked that the Bears could win a playoff game if they just had a little bit of a better quarterback.
Yeah, the point of this segment was like 3/4 of the quarterbacks in the league could win a playoff game, or at least, you know, come really close to that on this Bears roster.
So I guess a message to the Bears front office, if you happen to stumble across the podcast, which I'm sure you will.
Yes, of course.
I like to listen to these sort of things in your free time, but don't waste your defense. Go out and get a real quarterback who can throw the ball more than 15 yards down the field accurately, and a Super Bowl might be in your future, because I think this division is wide open right now.
Yeah, every team in the North has holes.
Yeah.
Maybe the Packers. Jeez. Look at them.
I don't even want to start. They disgusted me this weekend.
One of your spread picks, yeah.
14 points, and they almost lost. Never mind, barely covered.
Yep.
In new news this week, speaking of quarterbacks, Jameis Winston.
It hasn't been confirmed that he started, has it?
I don't think it has.
But he will.
He's going to get majority of the snaps.
Maybe Taysom Hill.
They'll give Taysom Hill his fair share of usage, but I'll stand by this. I don't see Taysom Hill ever being a guy that can drop back and throw the ball 20 times a game. It's just, it's not who he is. But Jameis is going to play this weekend against the Falcons, one of the worst defenses, if not the worst defense in the NFL. And I watched a ton of Jameis last season because, one, he is one of the most exciting quarterbacks, in my opinion, to watch, whether he's throwing a pick. Throws a pick one play, the next play he throws an 80-yard touchdown, and it doesn't matter. Nothing phases this guy. And last year was my fantasy quarterback, and he led me to a championship, as I have to.
As you crushed me in the semifinals.
Exactly. So the Saints all season, they've been plagued by a quarterback, and Breeze is getting better. I don't think he's completely washed, but there's no hiding the fact that he struggles when throwing the ball deep down the field, and it hurts their offense. So what do you think Jameis is going to bring to the Saints team?
Here's what I'll say about Jameis. A couple things. First of all, he should be on everybody's waiver wire in fantasy, because this week's a 30-point performance. I'm calling it right now, against the Falcons, a team that he knows very well. There's no surprises there. Here's how I'd look at it if I'm a Saints fan or just anybody. I don't see a way the Saints get worse. So if they continue to run all these short passes and these very easy dump offs to Kamara and these short passes to Michael Thomas, like they've done for years now, they're going to be the same. But if Sean Payton can open up the playbook and let Jameis kind of run a little bit wild, but somehow control that, which couldn't be done in Tampa Bay, I think the Saints are a much better team. And I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender right now, but if that happens, they definitely are, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm incredibly high on Jameis, and I really thought this offseason someone should have given him a chance as a starting quarterback. We just talked about the Bears and how they need a quarterback. I think Jameis would make that team better. This guy has so much talent, and obviously because he was a number one overall pick, but the downside, and it's not just a minor problem, it's a huge problem, is the interceptions. Last season he played in Bruce Arians' offense, and personally, I don't think Bruce Arians is an offensive genius. I think he's a good coach, but not a great coach.
I think he's a bit overrated.
We've seen that this year with how inconsistent the Bucs have been. And if you look at his track record with quarterbacks, when he had Carson Palmer, his interception numbers were crazy high. His first year with Andrew Luck, he was turning the ball over like crazy. And of course, Jameis last year in that offense, I think he threw 28 interceptions in the season. This season, I don't think you can compare Tom Brady, because Tom Brady is just a total different beast. He's in a different category. But now Jameis Winston's playing under Sean Payton, and he has had 10 weeks to sit on the sideline and watch Drew Brees and see what it's like to be a quarterback who is probably the most accurate quarterback in NFL history. I think Jameis is going to have learned a lot. I think we're going to see a ton of improvement in his one major flaw, and that's turning the ball over. And I still think we're going to see that gunslinger mentality where he can rip the ball down the field. Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders are one of the best wide receiver duos when they're fully healthy and going, and we've yet to see that this season. So my message to Saints fans is buckle up, because it's just about to get exciting, and I think Jameis is must-watch television this weekend.
I was about to say, relatively boring offense, not a lot of fun to watch, even though they have stars. It's the most anticipated offense to watch this week, I think. Nobody knows what's going to happen.
But if you look at what he had last season, he had Godwin and Evans and Ronald Jones, who wasn't the Ronald Jones last season that he is this year. Now he's got Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, which, if it's a drop-off from his previous duo, it's not a big one. And now he's got Alvin Kamara, who's the most versatile player in the NFL. I'm super, super excited to watch the Saints this weekend. And let's say he holds down the fort for a month and Brees comes back. I think Jameis's contributions and being able to give the offense a new flavor and open them up is going to help Brees when he comes back, because they'll be ready and finally peak at the right time, hopefully this year.
Yeah, that's the curse of the Saints, right? They always got off to that super hot start and then faded towards the end. My prediction, though, Brees doesn't play another game this year.
You think Jameis will come in and be that good that they're going to have their...
Sorry. Brees might come back, but then they'll go back to Jameis.
No way. I can't see that.
Watch.
I think they have so much respect for Brees, and he's been there so long. He's given so much. I just can never see them benching a guy like that.
Okay, let's say Jameis comes in and is incredibly efficient, he averages like an interception or less a game.
I think Brees, they really have
to go back to Brees.
They'll
give Brees a chance. They'll give Brees a chance.
Back with on. Brees, they believe they can win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, which I think
they can win the Super Bowl? No, but I think they're a contender, at least. I know you're not as high on them as that, but...
But to be fair, the NFC is wide open.
It is, and we haven't seen... Like a couple weeks ago, we were talking about how we think the Seahawks are going to run away with the number one seed. Now they're wild card 7 in the NFC. I'm pretty sure they're the last wild card.
Something like that.
Wild card 3, the 7th seed, regardless. So this is a conference that's changing week by week, and I think Jameis provides a new flavor into it, and it's exciting. So I'm looking forward to watching him for the next 3 or 4 weeks, but I think when Brees comes back, there's no questioning who the real sheriff is in town.
Fair enough. To wrap up this Jameis segment, Jameis on the Bears.
Better. 100% better. Playoff win.
Playoff win. Okay, I agree.
So yeah, that's going to do with the Jameis talk today, and I'm sure we'll be back next week, and I'm sure I might have to invest in a Jameis jersey because I just feel like I have a connection with this player that when the Bucks signed Brady, I was just so disappointed. But moving on, and we're going to continue to talk one of the most exciting teams in the NFC, and that's the Cardinals. That play from Hopkins, top three NFL moment that you've seen all time?
Probably not. That's an overreaction.
I'd put the Diggs catch.
Okay, ready? Quickly. We don't want to spend too much time, but Rodgers Hail Mary against the Lions, even though it crushed me, that was better. Rodgers against the Cardinals.
Playoffs.
I'm still on.
That was better.
Exactly. Against the Cardinals. There you go. I'm still on Rodgers. Brady's comeback against the Falcons. 16-0 Patriots.
It has to be a specific play, though. So if it's that Brady comeback, it has to be that Edelman catch that one barely. Play.
Okay, I'd still say Edelman catch. And then
just because of the magnitude, it was in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and then the helmet catch.
I know this was a Week 10 game that, you know what, if the Cardinals lose, or their playoff hopes are still in check, they'll be fine. But there were three guys on DeAndre Hopkins, and I think Kyler Murray evaded three or four sacks and was just about to get blown up when he launched that ball. I don't even know if he looked. If he did look, he probably couldn't see because he's only 5'9". So it was just so amazing, especially because Diggs just made an incredible play. It just seems like every time the Cardinals play, it's the game of the year. Their last three games, Seahawks, everyone said, oh, game of the season. Last week against the Dolphins, back and forth to the end. They said, wow, that was so exciting. This week against the Bills, once again. These guys are so, you know, they're just polarizing to watch. It's awesome.
They've turned into the Seahawks in a sense.
In a sense that it's, I call them cardiac Kyler. That's what I like to call them. Just because every week it's like, if you're a Cardinals fan, you're about to have a heart attack because it goes down to the wire and it's so exciting.
That Hopkins catch though, there's from when we both started watching football around the same time. The only other receiver that like makes that catch was Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, that's
the only other wide receiver that I can think of that I've watched. Maybe even his counterpart there, Fitzgerald, maybe. But I don't know. I'm starting to think he might be better than Julio. I think a lot of people already think that. I've always been a Julio's number one, and then the rest.
I think giving Julio the number one spot is almost being too respectful, and I understand it being respectful because Julio's been so great for so long. But if you look at his production over the last two seasons, I mean, I'd throw Davante Adams into this little equation too. Yeah. But right now, especially for DeAndre Hopkins to come into a new offense. Last season, Kyler Murray was a quarterback that didn't really throw the ball down the field. His system was quick, short passes. And now DeAndre Hopkins he's been leading the league in receiving yards all season. Now he's second to Stephon Diggs, but he's number one for me. I'll say that. I'm confident.
The wide receiver talk is, there's no end to it. You could argue the number one wide receiver for like five different receivers and people wouldn't be able to be like, you're being ridiculous. Also, quick quiz here. One question quiz for you. Who has the most touchdown catches since 2015?
I'm going to say Davante Adams.
Antonio Brown.
Still.
Yep.
Got it. Good for Antonio Brown. I know he's throwing chairs at security cameras now, but
you know, when he's on the field and he's not like the third receiver, he might be in a class of his own. He's that good.
Yeah, and it's sad to see where his career, but since 2015, wow, after being out of the league for practically 2 years, he's played two games this season. He played one game last season. That's definitely an accomplishment. Heading back to the Cardinals now, after I failed that quiz, it's now a three-way tie in first place in the NFC West. and these teams continue to play against each other. This week we have the Seahawks and the Cardinals. One of those teams is going to go to 6-4, which is crazy to say just because of how much talent they have. We talked a couple weeks ago saying it's the Seahawks division, 100% they're going to run away with it. Now we both look like fools. Who do you see coming out on top?
The team that's going to win the NFC West, just to tie it back into the discussion we were just talking about, the Cardinals, Kyler, whatever. I think what's going to happen to the Cardinals is what happened to the Seahawks. And I think they're going to burn out. And so I think that the Rams are going to end up winning the division. I really didn't think it was going to happen coming into this year. I know you were high on them. Each week, they just look better and better. Their defense is one of the most underrated in the league. I feel like nobody talks about them. Everybody knows about Aaron Donald, but just the whole unit. Jalen Ramsey absolutely locked down DK Metcalf this year, which is something. Has anybody done that this year?
I think Metcalf's only had one other game under 90 yards, maybe.
Okay, there you go. So that's really impressive. I think they're going to win it, and I think they should be. I think they're Super Bowl contenders at this point.
You mentioned that Rams defense. First of all, Sean McVay, when leading at halftime, which is an incredible stat in the NFL, very, very important for a playoff team, finish out games that you should win. 31-0 in his career. So right away.
Which is crazy, especially this year.
Yeah.
You think about how many comebacks there's been. Like, a whole half of football is a lot of time. A lot of points can be scored.
On that Rams defense, this is another stat. This is from Peter Schrager. The Rams have played 9 games, okay? The defense has given up in the second half, how important it is to get better as the game goes on. In the second half of football games this season, the defense has given up 3 points or less in 8 of 9 games.
That's incredible.
You look at the games the Rams have lost. They lost that game against the Bills after a terrible, terrible start, and they marched their way back into that game. Ended up losing by a field goal, I think, on an extremely questionable pass interference call late in the game. So, yeah, I going into the season, I was a lot higher on the Rams than most people were. Are they the most balanced team out of the three contenders? We can forget about the 49ers, which is unfortunate because when they're fully healthy, I think they're right in the mix of all these four teams. But the Rams might just be the most balanced team in the NFC West. They're an A-plus at head coach. They're probably a B at quarterback, which is better than most teams in the NFL.
Which is fine for what they have around them.
Exactly.
B is perfect.
They have great weapons. And Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, Tyler Higbee's had an up and down season, but he's a solid tight end.
They have about 9,000 running backs.
Exactly, which I think is
disaster scenario for fantasy, but for if you're a Rams fan, it's great news.
It helps because you got guys like Daryl Henderson or Cam Akers that you can give the guy
Malcolm Brown
on a crucial third down and he's rested because he hasn't had to shoulder 25 carries in a game. Their defense is better than the Seahawks defense by a huge margin, and I'd put them above the Cardinals defense too. So yeah, I think the Rams are an up and coming, not necessarily up and coming team because we've known they're good, but they might shock a lot of people.
A couple of years ago. Yeah.
For me, it's going to come down to how each of these three teams performs against each other. And we've seen the Rams beat the Seahawks. We've seen the Cardinals beat the Seahawks. The Seahawks go and play the Cardinals this week. If they go 0-2 against the Cardinals, that is a tough thing to come back from.
Yeah, and Russell Wilson has certainly slowed down. He's now, I think for the first time in I don't know how many weeks, he's no longer the MVP odds-on favorite. It's now Mahomes. But another thing about the Rams that I literally just thought of when you mentioned Goff. Everybody knows this is not a new thing. You can see Goff listening to McVay when he's at the line. Now, in games with no crowds, obviously, I think, how much time is it when the coach gets cut off? I think it's like 15 seconds.
15 seconds.
Yeah. Right, 15 seconds, right? So obviously, he doesn't have the whole clock. But in a playoff game, let's say they make it to the playoffs, I don't think they'll be the one seed. And in a game where they're on the road, it's not going to be affected. And I think that, and then that's what allows Goff to be a potentially closer to a quarterback when maybe he's really a B.
Yeah, that's definitely a great point and something that a lot of people will overlook and think like, oh, that's not that important. But for how the Rams are built, 100%. If you were to have to put money on it, I know you said you think the Rams will come out. If you were to have to put, let's say $100 on one team to win the NFC West, who are you most confident that's going to pull it out? Sticking with the Rams?
Yeah, no, Rams, 100%. I'm very confident the Cardinals fizzle out. I'm saying, like, they'll still make the playoffs, but it just can't happen. You can't do that the rest of the year.
Yeah, they're cutting it very, very close in a lot of their games, but they're so fun to watch. And I always say this, the team that's new, everyone falls in love with every year. So I'm not saying the Cardinals are overrated, but the Seahawks are in a rut right now and people are starting to write them off. I'm still going to pick them to win the division. I think December football is a different animal, and I'm going to go with the most experienced quarterback and the best quarterback to, and even that you can argue that maybe McVay's the best coach, but I'm a huge Pete Carroll fan and he's got more experience. I'm going to go with the Seahawks because when it comes down to week 15, week 16, week 17, there's nobody that I trust more in the NFL than Russell Wilson. Maybe you can throw Mahomes in that category, but I still think that at some point this season, he'll refine that form that carries this team to victory, regardless of how bad that defense is performing.
The reason I can't pick the Seahawks is they don't pressure the quarterback. They just don't. Their offensive line is, I think it's not as bad as a lot of people say, but it's certainly not anything special.
Yeah, it's not a top unit.
I think they're just, it's the longer the season goes on, the more and more the offense and defensive lines are going to get exposed.
I think the absence of Chris Carson has been hurting them. I think when he comes back, that's a big boost. One thing I got to say I've been disappointed in, and I feel like in order for my prediction or my I guess bet that the Seahawks do come out on top, is that Jamal Adams has just really been poor this season. I don't know if you saw that one clip
Sunday.
It's been going around Twitter. Yeah, it's just the tackle's there, and it's almost like he moved out of the way. I don't know if he was scared of getting hit or what, but and Pete Carroll reamed him out on the sidelines, so... I don't know. I love Russell Wilson as a leader, and I still think he can get the best out of this football team. Of course, they have their issues, and they might have the biggest holes out of the three teams. But I think he'll get cooking again and be able to win football games.
Does he win the MVP quickly? I know we've done a lot of MVP talk.
No, he doesn't win the MVP this year.
Okay. Yet another year.
Another year missed out. Poor guy. But... we talked about the best division in the NFL and the NFC West. Now let's go over to the worst division. And I'm trying my best to swear off this division. But you know what? Now it's getting interesting again because the New York Giants, who you said last week on the podcast, you said they might win this division. And I thought you were crazy. What I saw this weekend proved me wrong, I'll be honest. And now I might be liking that pick. But NFC East winner.
Giants, I got to stick with it. There's no reason for me to change. I said it last week. I really wish that Saquon didn't get hurt. This team is... I don't know if there's a team that has improved more from week one till now than the Giants. I think they might be the most improved team. Joe Judge looks like maybe another Belichick member from his tree that will work out. Him and Flores together there. The defense, it's
one of the best in the league.
I was going to say top 10 in the league.
I'd put it easily top 10 in the league. I think it's around that top seven mark easily.
Yeah. And Daniel Jones has minimized turnovers the last couple of weeks. And the reason I was so confident that they were going to win or at least cover in terms of the point spread pick, they should have beat the Eagles the first game. They should have swept the Eagles this season. If Evan Ingram doesn't drop that ball, they're 2-0 against the Eagles. The only tough thing is, if you look at both, whoever wins this division is going to win with like six games.
Yeah.
Or six wins.
Six wins, exactly. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think it's the Giants, but you still have faith in Wentz or what?
You know what? The more and more you're talking, and especially from what I've been watching... you mentioned they should have beat the Eagles earlier. I think they should have beaten the Cowboys earlier too. I know Dak got hurt in that game, but they were leading all game and the Cowboys had to win on a last second field goal. So I look at these Giants. You mentioned Joe Judge might be a Brian Flores type odd success story from a Bill Belichick disciple. And I've seen the Dolphins comparison be floated around to the Giants saying that they're the Dolphins of last year. And the reason I like that comparison is because, like you said, they've gotten better each week. They have a young and upcoming defense. They pressure the quarterback. Their free agent signings from this offseason, James Bradbury and Blake Martinez, have been some of the best players in their position this season. And one thing I like about the Giants that I don't see in any other team in this division is they play with so much passion and so much fight. And it doesn't matter that they don't have the talent. It's that they want to win football games and they're going to do whatever it takes to get that done. I think they're very well coached. I had my worries or skepticisms on Joe Judge going into the year, but he's starting to prove me wrong. And while I still think the jury's out on Daniel Jones, he's winning games. This guy leads the league in yards per carry. He's getting it done on the ground. He's throwing it in the air. And I think it is unfortunate that Saquon Barkley isn't able to excel in this offense because their offensive line has also improved as we've gone on through the season. So
they also lost Devontae Freeman.
Yeah.
It's the whole next man up. The Giants have certainly embraced that. I mean, and I like how you mentioned Bradbury, maybe the most underrated defensive player in the league. He gets no love in the media in terms of top defensive players in general, but I guess I've watched a decent amount of Giants games this year, or Giants, parts of Giants games. He's been fantastic, and I think they're a really easy team to root for. I'd love to see them host a playoff game.
It's crazy that a couple weeks ago, the talk was Trevor Lawrence for them. Now it's they can win the division, but it's still, if they don't win the division, they can still get a great draft pick. So it's just a crazy time in the NFC East right now. But you mentioned, still on that Bradbury topic, this guy just every single week, he takes the number one receiver out of the game. This past weekend, it was Travis Fulgham. And I know you can say, oh, it's only Travis Fulgham. This guy was a practice squad player going into the season. But he's been a very, very impressive receiver this year. He's been Wentz's go-to guy, and he's been a threat in every game. He's gone for over 100 yards, and Bradbury held him to one catch. So hats off to him. Hats off to this Giants defense. And they've given me the most reasons to be confident in them, because for me to pick the Eagles, that's still me believing that, okay, Wentz can get it done. When this season, I've yet to see him do that.
And they're still in first place, the Eagles, mind you. So,
yeah, that tie is going to help them, I think, is really going to help them. But
well, win would help them more, but yeah.
Yeah.
And also one thing about the Giants here, I think first 4 weeks, everybody's like, oh, that playoff game, I said it too. The playoff game, whoever plays the NFC East team is going to be like, oh, this is, it's almost a bye week. It's almost, you'd rather lose your division so you can play them. This team, and an underrated part of their team, Graham Gano has been fantastic recently, making all the kicks you need, something you need in playoff games. You need, you ask Vikings fans.
Yep.
You need your field goals to be made. I mean, in terms of our spread picks, the spread will be less than 7 for that playoff game, no matter who they play.
If you think of Giants or Eagles, regardless, less than 7?
No, I think honestly, just Giants right now, I'd say that.
I think the Giants are one of the best teams in the NFL this year against the spread, just because, and I'm guilty of this too, nobody's believing in them yet. And
they're like the Dolphins, really. Another, you said comparisons. That's another thing. They're undervalued in terms of the spread.
Yeah, exactly. Like I should have, looking back at my terrible, we're going to get into the spread picks now, but looking back at last week, I think the Dolphins were -4 and they ended up dropping to -2 before kickoff. I wish I had hopped on that because it just seemed like free money. They were winning by 14 until the very end. The Chargers got a late touchdown. But yeah, I'm joining you as the president of the Giants for NFC East fan club because they've impressed me. What can I say? And you said it best. They're a team that it's hard not to root for. Loving what they're doing. On to the spread picks.
Everyone's favorite segment.
Everyone's favorite part of the show. We save it for the very end. Just a bit of recap. I have spent the last 10 weeks or 9 weeks chasing you down, trying to get up into first place on the standings. And 2 weeks ago, I finally had a great week. And
you caught me.
I caught you. We were tied. Now this past week, and you go 3-0. I go 1-2, an incredibly disappointing 1-2. And if it weren't for DeAndre Hopkins, I would have been 0-3. So I've got to go back to the drawing board. There's a lot of work to be done. And correct me if I'm wrong, you have the first pick this week.
I do. And I had the games up, and now my computer is struggling here. But
this is an 11 weeks in a row of you coming to everyone's favorite segment and continuing to be unprepared.
And 12-6. You're in first place. 12-6. I'm not only in first place, I'm 12-6.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Now everything's loaded. My first pick. Interesting thing about my record. Never lost if I've picked a game if an NFC East team is in it. I'm going to continue that trend. First pick, Bengals +2 against Washington. Bounce back game for Cincinnati. They got just destroyed by the Steelers. And I saw Washington against the Lions. They made kind of one of those comebacks that every team does against the Lions. Washington's nothing special. And I think the Bengals win outright.
I like that pick. It should be a good game. Joe Burrow versus Chase Young, number one versus number two, which is always fun to see. We'll see who gets the best of that battle. Every time I pick my Dolphins, and I try to be as unbiased as possible and convince myself a reason of why I should not pick them, but they continue to kill it against the spread every week. This week they're going into Denver. Which, you know what, tough place to play, especially for a young, inexperienced quarterback like Tua. But they're only favored by 3 points. I don't even think Drew Lock's playing. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But
5 turnovers last game, so maybe it's a bad thing.
Maybe it's a bad thing for the Dolphins that Drew Lock's not playing. But they're only favored by 3. I think this could shoot up to 6 by the time kickoff's coming around. I'm going to jump on them now. Dolphins -3.
All right. Next pick for me. Speaking of the Dolphins, the team they just beat, Chargers -7.5 against the Jets. The Jets are coming off of a bye week, but the Chargers are now 2-7.
Yeah.
Did I get that right?
One of the best 2-7 teams.
Yes, we said it last week. One of the best 2-6. They're now one of the best 2-7. Anthony Lynn is coaching for his job at this point. So I'd like them to win by 15. I think they'll blow them out.
Yeah, they always say good coaches are great coming off bye, and Adam Gase is... We've seen enough of him. It's hard to call him a good coach. So the fact that the Jets are coming off bye, I don't think is a big deal. Second pick for me, I think I'm going to exercise my demons this week and take the Packers at +2.5. They're playing in Indianapolis, but a team like the Packers and a team like Aaron Rodgers, I think the Colts had this game where they overperformed almost, and they really got lucky with some horrible special teams from the Tennessee Titans. So I like the Packers to, if they don't win, I like them to cover that just because they aren't favored. So I'm going to go Packers +2.5 this week.
Yeah, that was actually my next pick, but that's off the board.
Sucks.
Tough. I'll pick against the team I just said I don't believe in. I'll go Browns -3 against the Eagles. The Browns are at home. I like them to continue their winning ways. I mean, weird game against the Texans there. Bad weather. They got rained out for a bit there. I think they'll handle the Eagles easily.
The Browns are 6-3. I don't think they're a 6-3 team. But if you look at their schedule, it's hard to not see them making the playoffs. Again, I don't know what to say about these guys, but they didn't look convincing last weekend against a bad Texans team. A little bit of backstory now for my final pick. Last season, you and I both were in a survivor pool. I'm not going to reveal amounts of money, but a lucrative pot to the winner.
Significant sum.
I think we're down to the final eight players.
Yep.
Like, we were really close. We both had separate entries. And I think it was week 11 last year, maybe week 12. The Saints played the Falcons, and I took the Saints to win, and that cost me the survivor pool. This week, Saints against Falcons, week 11. The Saints are favored by 5. I'm rolling with my guy, Jameis. Once again, I feel like every exercising my demons. When I'm down to you, and I need to make a comeback, I got to go bold. Give me the Saints minus 5. If there's a Jameis over-under touchdown, I don't even want to know what it is. Just give me the over because it's going to be must-watch television. Jameis is back. Let's go, Saints.
Number one Saints fan here.
I'm so fired up for this weekend to finally watch Jameis in there. But that's the spread picks for the week. If I were you and I'm listening, I'd go and place bets on all 6 of them because it'd probably be 6-0.
6-0. Before we end the podcast, you complained about the primetime games last week.
Yes.
And the garbage, for lack of a better term. This week, you got the Cardinals Seahawks on Thursday. You got the Rams and Buccaneers on Monday. And then the Sunday nighter is...
What's Chiefs the Sunday and Raiders.
Night? Chiefs and Raiders, right?
And the Raiders, yeah.
There you go. 3 fantastic games.
All my whining. I feel like a little kid that whines and gets what he wants. That's how I feel. That's how you just made me feel. But that's about 9 hours of football right there between the 3 games. We'll say 10 hours. I'll be tuned in for all 10.
Yeah,
for
sure. Gruden's Grinders beating the Chiefs again.
Here I go. Need the Chiefs to win. The Dolphins need the Chiefs to win that game.
Right, yes, they do.
That's why I didn't touch it with the spread picks. I don't want to curse the game, but... Yeah, that's going to be all for today's podcast. If you made it to the end, thank you so much for listening. Follow us on Instagram if you haven't already, and we will see you next Tuesday.
Have a good week, guys.